Hey guys, Ron Partain, Untold History. It's late in the evening, Friday the 13th. Post Friday night watch party. I didn't realize it, but there was about an hour long interview of Aaron Russo after the video. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to upload this so that you guys can watch it if you so choose. Feel free to watch it. It just gives him his thoughts on the documentary, and the interviewer asks him some questions about, you know, just kind of how he feels and you know, what he was trying to accomplish and whatnot. So I didn't realize that this was there. I was checked at the time of the thing, and I said, "Oh, there's a lot of time left, but it don't I think the video's over." So anyway, just gonna I cropped it out, and I'm gonna upload this so that you guys can watch it if you so choose. So so if you decide to watch it, great. If not, no big deal. But I didn't want to deprive you guys of the opportunity to hear Aaron Russo talk about his work. So here you go.
Freedom to Fascism. That's a pretty in-your-face title. And from the bits I've seen already of this documentary, you should be making a lot of waves. It's being compared in advance to Fahrenheit 9/11. Just give an overview of what you're trying to do, a summary of what you're trying to do in this movie, and then we can get into some specifics.
Well, I think what I'm trying to do is obviously is wake America up. That's why I use that title, because that to me is the truth. It's the honest title. A lot of people said, don't say fascism because it's going to scare people, you know, but the truth is that it is fascism what's happening in America. Only people don't know what fascism really means. Fascism is actually the synergistic effort of big government and big corporations working together to stifle the people. And that's what we have in America today. I mean, if you asked Mussolini what fascism was, he would say it's really corporatism. You know, I think it was Tolstoy who said fascism is capitalism in decay.
Yeah, you know? Corporatocracy, is that another word
exactly,
they use for it?
Exactly, yes. So what's happened in America is that the corporations have taken over, and the largest corporation of all is the Federal Reserve System. And people don't think of the Federal Reserve System as being a corporation.
I think it's a formal governmental entity.
Exactly, I think it's a government agency, and mm-hmm. It's not, you know. It's a cabal. It's a partnership between the government and this private bank, and this private bank is a Delaware corporation, who in 1913 was given the authority, the concession, so to speak, to make money for America, to issue dollars. Up to that point, it was the government that could do that, and local banks that could do that, and money was had a gold and silver backing. And what happened was in 1913, the Fed took that power away from the government, or the government gave it to them.
Mm-hmm. Right? Did a deal with the banking industry.
Right, they did a deal with the private bankers, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and all those people. And by doing that, the government, when it needed money, now had to borrow it from the Fed and pay interest on the money. And they brought the income tax into being then, so the interest to these bankers could be paid. So essentially, because of this corruption, this fraud, the bankers got the right to make money, and the American people had to be taxed so they could pay the bank, so the government could pay the bankers the interest. Whereas if the government made the money, there'd be no interest to pay. You see, and if it had the gold backing that it's supposed to have, it would limit the amount of money that could be printed. You see, so 1913, the change began to evolve in America. And in a way, my movie could be called The Two Frauds of 1913, the IRS, you know, the income tax and the Federal Reserve. Yeah.
There are so many roads to go down. One of them you were talking about was it did limit the growth by having actual gold, an actual gold-backed currency.
Right.
Most people don't understand that we do not have a gold-backed currency anymore. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, we can. I mean, I don't know if people find that interesting.
Well, but I find it interesting. I mean, everyone thinks we have Fort Knox filled with gold, and that's basically the backing to our currency, that we're stable.
No.
Can you talk about the truth?
Sure. The truth is that, first of all, There probably is no gold in Fort Knox. I say probably, even though I'm sure there isn't. I say probably because I've not been in there to see it for myself. But what's happened is the Treasury, which owns the gold on behalf of the American people, has given the gold to the Federal Reserve, these private bankers, as collateral for the dollars these bankers print out of thin air. So the bankers have basically swindled, with the cooperation of the Congress and the government, the bankers have swindled the American people by taking all our wealth, the gold, and giving us a piece of paper that ultimately has no value. It's just a piece of paper with no backing to it. And, you know, it's just a situation where the people of America don't understand that because they believe that gold still backs the dollar, or silver still backs the dollar, and it doesn't, not in any way. So what you have is what's called a fiat currency. And this fiat currency, the Federal Reserve can make out of thin air all they want. And because the
paper is cheap, ink is too.
You don't even need the ink anymore. Let's say each dollar printed or each $100 printed costs 3 cents, okay? But now you don't even have to spend the 3 cents because they just use digits on a computer. Mm-hmm. So you don't even have paper anymore. You just have these digits. And it's because of this ability of the Federal Reserve to print money out of thin air or to make digits out of thin air, and they call it money. It gives them the power to control the government, because whoever makes the money makes the rules. That's the name of the game. So they can own everything they want. America has gone from being a nation of people who own their own property, own their own businesses, to a nation in debt, because all money is created by borrowing. And this country has become people who just live by borrowing. What's my credit report? How much can I borrow this week? How much can I pay off this week? People don't own their own houses anymore. For this very reason, in the old days, you know, if you borrowed money, you wanted to pay it off as soon as possible. Now what people look to do is to have the lowest monthly payment they can get. They don't think about ever owning their own house.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
And it's all based on a credit system. It's all based on a credit system. Excuse me, Mike. It's all based on a credit system because the Federal Reserve System is one that encourages debt. That's why you get credit cards in the mail all the time. Borrow money, you know, go to college, borrow money. They bring you into the system at a very early age. And yes, once you get into debt, you never get out, basically, because between taxes, the income tax, the interest on your debt, and inflation, you can't get out from under. It's very difficult for anybody, unless you're very, very wealthy, to ever survive in this country and own anything, because they're always in debt. Think of the three I's. Interest payments are very high. Income taxes, and inflation. Inflation is the silent tax that people don't recognize the loss of their purchasing power. If you look at the dollar bill from the time the Federal Reserve came into being till today, the dollar is now worth about 4 cents.
Right.
From a dollar.
Right.
I mean, houses today.
Even in my lifetime.
Yeah. I mean, houses today cost $1 million. It's like nothing.
That's right.
In the old days, my father bought his house in 1954.
$4,000?
No, it was $27,000, okay, in Long Island, in a very wealthy neighborhood.
Oh, well, you were wealthy.
Well, I wasn't, but we were middle class. We were middle class. But he had a home for $27,000 in a nice suburb of New York, right. You know. It was $27,000 in 1954, 55. And the house just resold again, not from him, but I was out there visiting it, and the guy who bought the house just paid over $1.1 million for it. Same house, right. No different. So the value of the dollar value of that house has gone up, what, 50 times mm-hmm. in 50 years.
Right.
That's because they print so much money. Inflation, the higher prices of things come because they print so much money.
And we all buy into it.
Well, you have to buy into it. You have no choice anymore. Well, that's why I made this movie. You really don't have a choice, as long as you have a Federal Reserve System.
That's true. In a lot of ways, we don't have a choice. In other ways, we have our own decisions to make as consumers, and we choose to go beyond our means also.
Yes.
In addition to that, we're exacerbating the problem, but this is all by design.
But you taught that, and it is by design.
Right.
You taught that because it is by design.
And let's talk about the by design part of it. This isn't an accident that we found ourselves in this condition.
No. It's slavery. It's serfdom. I mean, just take a look. You know, the Democrats and Republicans in Congress, right, have just have allowed this Federal Reserve System to come into being, and now they're letting the banks charge these usurious rates of interest over 20, sometimes 30% on the money you borrow,
right.
And yet they changed the bankruptcy laws, so that's much more difficult to get out of debt. So they're making you debtors for life. Everything is always on behalf of the banks. It's always on behalf of the Federal Reserve. You have these high rates of interest, and at the same time, right, you can't declare bankruptcy anymore. They're making it very difficult.
You're in the little mill.
You're the hamster on the wheel.
Yeah, for life. Yeah. Let's talk about why and the entities that have really helped set this up long term to have people in the little hamster mill of life.
Well, it's set up. I mean, it came about because the bankers. This has been a fight throughout history. I mean, Andrew Jackson fought the fight. Thomas Jefferson fought the fight. You know, the bankers have always wanted to control the country because they're very clever and very smart people. And they knew that if they could ever get the government to give them the right to issue the money, they would control the government. They would control the laws of the nation. That's why even today, you look at the immigration laws. You look what's happening with immigration in America. Why is it happening? On one hand, people say we've had this 9/11 attack and we have to get ID cards for people, RFID chips. Everybody has to be identified. They have to go to the airport. They have to be searched.
Right.
Everything is, we got security's foremost in everybody's mind, right? But on the other hand, I know if I were the president and 9/11 came, the first thing I would do was shut off the borders so nobody come in there. So on one hand, they're telling Americans they have to be controlled with ID cards and RFID chips and wanting to chip people. And on the other hand, they're letting everybody come into the border. Terrorists, whoever wants to come in, can just walk over the border and come into the country. So you know it's a lie. It's not about terrorism. It's about the banks controlling the country and the world working together. This is about the bankers wanting a one world government without borders. That's why everybody's able to come through the borders. It's not about security at all. And so the situation we're facing today is we have a government that's controlled by the Federal Reserve System, and the Federal Reserve System has this appearance of credibility, and Alan Greenspan's the greatest guy in the world, and now Bernanke, you know, and all these guys, the Federal Reserve, you gotta have the Federal Reserve. But in reality, the Federal Reserve is part of the Communist Manifesto. They talk about America having being a capitalistic society, you know, but yet you have a central bank that makes all the decisions. That's not capitalism. No. It's a fraud. It's a lie. They deceive the people, and they put out all this spin, all this press. You know, the Federal Reserve is the greatest thing in the world, and they're going to protect us, and they're going to make sure there's no more depressions in this country. What they've done is destroy the currency of this country, and they've taken all our gold while destroying the currency. And at some point, they're going to probably pull the plug and create the Greater Depression. You know.
And we're talking about the silent hand behind the powers that we see on the news.
Yes, totally. There's no question that the bankers control, whether it's George Bush or Hillary Clinton or whoever it is, doesn't matter, Democrat or Republican, it's irrelevant. You know, that's why, like Michael Moore's movie, even though I enjoyed his movie and I respected what he did as a filmmaker, I thought he did a very good job with that movie, even though I didn't agree with everything he said. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought just as a pure filmmaker, he did a good job. He got his points across. But on the other hand, what he did do was play into what the powers that be want him to play into.
How so?
He played into it because it was Democrat versus Republican.
Keeping it more local than it really is, smaller.
Keeping it polarized.
Polarized, right.
Not smaller, not bigger. Keeping it polarized. Red state versus blue state. Liberal versus conservative. Democrat versus Republican.
Yes.
Michael Moore played into the system and what the people want to happen. They want people looking at Democrats and Republicans and fighting over that. Mm-hmm. Red states and blue states, mm-hmm. but not looking at the Federal Reserve as the real answer. So they hide behind that. It's like the Wizard of Oz, the guy behind the curtain. And the guy behind the curtain is the Federal Reserve. Well, it's not even the Federal Reserve so much as the people behind the Federal Reserve. They use the Federal Reserve as a tool so they can control things. So what Michael Moore did was, you know, he increased the tension in America. You know, he kept the polarization alive, which is what the people behind the curtain want. And I don't think he did that because intentionally. I think he did it because that's his point of view.
Right.
And he doesn't know about the people behind the curtain. You know, and my picture is more about where the real power lies, that it's not Democrats and Republicans, they're just puppets.
Right.
And my movie goes after the system. and how the system is functioning and operating today, and what's really going down, why people are so dissatisfied and unhappy in America and around the world. And we try to address those issues and how to stop it from happening, you know? And so what's happening is, and it's not only in America now.
Right.
I mean, we have the Federal Reserve System here, but there are central banks all over the world, and they all work together.
Doesn't matter if it's China. Well, it doesn't matter if it's Britain. Well,
I can't speak for China, but I can tell you, Britain, you're right, it doesn't matter. And most of the industrialized West, it doesn't matter. It's all central banks controlling the governments. And the central banks make secret agreements with each other. Like, you know, our Congress, you know, the central bank in America the other day said there's this thing called M3. I don't want to get too technical here, but M3 is basically a measure of the money supply. The bigger the growth of the money supply, the less the dollar is worth. It loses value. The more you print, the more you have of something, the less it's worth, right? And so now they've decided they're not going to publish the figures of M3 anymore. They don't want people to know how much money they're printing.
And that's
something we have every right to know.
Yes, we do. And we have large concerns.
Yeah.
They hit that magic number. Was it last month, the $8.3 trillion?
That's just part of the debt. Yeah, but
that's part of it. But that's a big point to hit, isn't it?
We have unfunded liabilities in this country of over $70 trillion. The 8.3 is just a portion of that.
Yeah.
You know, so the real question is, there's so much debt in this country, they've got to keep things afloat.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to keep printing tons and trillions and trillions of dollars. And it's getting so massive, they don't want to let us know how much they're printing.
Right.
And we have no way to measure how fast we're going to lose the purchasing power of our money. And then on the other hand, if they choose to stop printing money, they can cause the biggest depression that ever happened in this country, in the world. And it's all in these guys' power. I don't want to give them that power.
Right.
And it's unconstitutional. It's wrong. Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, the founders of this country, fought against having a central bank.
Right.
It was one of the main objects that they fought against.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have this central bank controlling us and controlling the laws of the nation. And now you see the government talking about these RFID chips going and everything.
Right.
That
right.
can track you wherever you go. It's going to be on your license, your driver's license by May 2008. They're telling the states you have to put these chips in the driver's license.
It's supposed to be in credit cards. It's supposed to be in everything,
everything.
In the future.
And they're going to chip people with it. They're going to
right.
put it into your bodies.
Right. And not only in our bodies, in our wallets. But you walk through a turnstile and you have a barcode on something, the transaction's done.
Of course, but I'm saying to you that
it
goes in stages. So you can have it on your driver's license, you can have it on your card, but eventually it's going to end up in your hand.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right, it's going to end up in your hand. So you can have a homing device built into you.
Right.
They can track you wherever they want to track
some
you, wherever
argue
you want.
If you have a cell phone or if you have a GPS system in your car, they can do that anyway.
They
but
can.
It's just making it a lot easier.
Well, I mean, you chip now, you're going to be chipped like a dog.
Right.
If I don't want to be chipped, I'm not going to be chipped.
Right.
But the fact is that, you know, you're not going to be able to start your computer or you're not going to be able to have a bank account. And if you're chipped, then all money now becomes digitized. They can take the chips out of you whenever they want to. I mean, they can take your money from you whenever they want to. You have no say.
And this
you owe us this much money. You owe us this much money. And they just take it out of your digits.
Right.
You know, so
right.
instead, you have no privacy left.
Right.
You know, I mean, if I don't want to have a cell phone, I can throw it away. If I don't want GPS in my car, I can get rid of it.
Right.
Once they want to implant you in it, and there's no more money, there's no more cash, and you're in a cashless society, you have to have that chip. And if you want to buy food,
right?
Right? So, and if you protest like I do, if you fight what they're doing, they can just turn off my chip. I can't even buy food.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pay my bills.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's total control. It's slavery.
It's slavery.
It's slavery. And these central bankers are doing that. And I'm not prepared to allow them to do it. That's why I made this movie. I want people to wake up and know what's really happening in this country and the world. That's what happened in Europe recently. They voted down the European Constitution,
right?
Right? But they're not stopping.
Mm-hmm.
They're going forward with it anyway.
Because right.
they want to put the world into blocks, the Europeans, the Asians, the Americas, into three, and then they want to bring it all together. I mean, it's a one world government where even voting has no more, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, think about your government. You want to live in a government where you have a say. That's why they say local government is the best government, because you have a voice.
Right.
And now in America today, in the federal government, you know you have no voice. You have nothing to say. Imagine a world government What are you going to be able to say? Nothing. Nobody's going to listen to you. You're just a tool for these people. You're a tool. You're a hamster. And they're going to suck you dry and spit you out. They don't care about you.
And you're a revenue source. And I wouldn't mind getting into that because you came out with both guns firing about the IRS and the legality of the IRS. Yeah. This is huge. I've been reading about it for years, but I kept thinking, I see what they're saying. However, they can still throw you in jail.
Yes.
Can you talk about the whole fraud of the IRS?
Yeah, I will in a second. But you said something about being a revenue source, right, which reminded me of something. Yeah. Okay. I was friendly with one of the Rockefellers. Okay. And he said to me one day, which just blew my mind. He said, Aaron, remember that whole thing with Women's Lib when it was the biggest thing I saw in all the magazines and television? Women's Lib, women have a right to work just like they had a right to vote. And you make sure that you have a right to work and they fight for Women's Lib, women's right to work. He says, we were promoting that whole thing. You know, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Federal Reserve, because we want to get the women in the workforce. We want to be able to tax them. That's why you saw it in all the newspapers all the time. And the added plus was, then they had to put their kids in childcare, into schools earlier, so we can control their minds at a young age. That's what that was all about. You called it Women's Lib, you know, but it was about giving us control. And nobody realized that.
And now we got it. Now women are as exhausted as men.
Exactly.
In the treadmill.
It's we're dealing with very diabolical people, very devious, diabolical people who are incredibly intelligent, who control the money supply, they control the army, they control the government, and it's very hard to stop them. And the way to stop them, in my view, and it could be done, even though we're very close to it, to losing this game.
Yeah, the point of no return.
Yeah, we're very close to that. But the way to do it is to shut down the Federal Reserve System, to have all Americans, we still have a chance. You see, Congress has the legal authority to shut down the Federal Reserve, right?
But if they don't have the courage to do it,
because if we massly protest it and tell every politician, you know, that you have to listen to the will of the people, not to the will of the Federal Reserve bankers, and we're going to vote you out of office unless you sign an affidavit saying you're going to shut down the Federal Reserve System. And that will be the litmus test on who to vote for, not whether they're Democrats, not whether they're Republicans, but will you sign an affidavit saying, I will be part of shutting down the Federal Reserve System. I will vote to shut it down. And drop all the other issues, whether it's gun control or environment or whatever, because nothing's going to matter if you don't get rid of the Federal Reserve.
Right.
So if we can get everybody to just focus on the Federal Reserve System like a laser beam and drop all the other stuff temporarily and just shut them down, you'll have a chance of saving the country. You know, that's what it's going to take. And we can still do it because Congress has the authority to do it. And Congress needs you and me to vote for them to get back into office.
But for this to happen, it's up to also you and me and many others to begin educating the public as to what we're really up against. Well,
which is why I made the movie.
Exactly, which is, I just totally applaud you on that.
Thanks.
Can we go into the IRS now?
Sure,
about it. That's huge.
Well, the IRS is huge, but don't forget, the IRS is just part of the Federal Reserve System problem. And in actuality, there is no law. I've researched this very thoroughly because I kept hearing for years there's no law that you have to pay, and I sort of poo-pooed it.
Yeah,
you
I did
know,
too.
And they make you think anybody that says that's a wacko and a kook, you know. But there is no law. Let me just tell you straight out. There is no law that requires you to file a 1040. I researched this, and I'll tell you why there's no law. First of all, the Constitution says, okay, that there's two kinds of taxation, direct taxes and indirect taxes. A direct tax must be apportioned and done by census, which means that a direct tax, which is what a tax on your labor would be a direct tax, you can't get away from it, right? A direct tax on your labor would have to be apportioned, meaning divided amongst all the people equally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And an indirect tax is like an excise tax. It's like a tax that you don't have to pay if you don't use the service.
Luxury car or something.
Well, not even a luxury car came later, but like gasoline.
Right.
If you don't want to drive a car, if you want to take a bicycle, you don't buy gas, you don't pay the tax.
Right.
So that's called an indirect tax. But that indirect tax has to be the same in every state.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be uniform. Okay? So there's two kinds of taxes, direct and indirect, in the Constitution. In 1894, they tried to pass an income tax on your labor. The Supreme Court said you can't do that. It's unconstitutional. They stopped. in 1913 to get around that Pollock decision of 1894, right? They passed the 16th Amendment, which said we can tax any income from any place forever, okay? And once they passed that tax, then people started paying an income tax on the labor. It became a third form of taxation. Mm-hmm. You had direct apportioned tax, you had the indirect tax, and now you had a direct tax that was unapportioned, mm-hmm. okay? So you had three forms of taxation mm-hmm. now. But two things. The amendment was never ratified properly. It was a fraud, okay? And that's been proven. But the second point is this. Even if it wasn't a fraud and had been ratified properly, even if it had been, okay, the Supreme Court in eight different decisions that I have researched said the 16th Amendment gave the government no new power of taxation. They can't tax the labor of the American people. So it was finished. And in 1917, they stopped taxing. So they did it for 3 years, right? And so there is no tax on the labor of the American people, no legal tax, and no constitutional tax. So they've made the IRS code, right, says whatever it says, but whatever it says is irrelevant because it's not in compliance with the Supreme Court decisions.
Right.
Right? So even the IRS code, if you actually examine it, okay, even though it's irrelevant because it doesn't comply with the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Actually, if you examine it, there's still no law that makes you pay a tax on your labor.
Right, okay. Yet every one of us, I guess there are, 69, 70 million Americans who don't, but most of the rest of us are on the treadmill and we're paying dutifully our taxes on time each year.
Well, they make you feel if you don't pay it, you're not a good citizen. That's part of their propaganda. Well, and that's what allows them to keep spending money.
But in fact, it's not just you saying this. What I found very compelling in your film is that you're talking with former IRS agents and investigators who were put to the task of finding out on behalf of inquiries as to whether or not this was a legal practice,
right.
Only to find out that it wasn't legal. And in fact, some of these people who were formerly with the IRS have not paid their taxes since they found out about this.
Right. There are many IRS agents, former agents, who have left the IRS because they did the research and they were in there before I was.
Right.
You know, and they deserve to be honored for the work they've done because it's a giant, in my opinion, it's a giant scam. And
it takes a lot of courage to do that, though, because what are we still up against?
Well, the thing is that we're up against the police state because what they'll do is even though there's no law, they threaten people with harm.
Right.
You see, but I interviewed the IRS commissioner, the ex-IRS commissioner, who wrote the tax code. He was general counsel to the IRS. He was the commissioner to the IRS, and he wrote the tax code. Okay, his name is Sheldon Cohen, and I interviewed him for the movie. And in the movie, he says, "Supreme Court decisions are inapplicable to the IRS."
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And what does he give as a justification for that?
He has no justification because I put him into a corner. He couldn't answer the questions. So he was forced at the end to say, it doesn't, you know, Supreme Court decisions don't matter, which we all know is a lie.
Right.
So the IRS is not beyond the Supreme Court, right? So there is no law that allows the government to have a direct, unapportioned tax on your labor. Okay. Now, an income tax is defined by the Supreme Court as a corporate gain. Mm-hmm. You see, there is an income tax, but it's not a tax on your labor. An income tax is actually a tax on gains by corporations. Mm-hmm. That's the definition of an income tax in the Eisner versus McCumber case, if anybody wants to go look it up, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? And so, there's an income tax, but it's not a tax on you. It's a tax on corporations.
Right. And this has been pressed... This was pressed with many administrations, including the Clinton administration as well as now, and so it really does cut across political boundaries. And can you talk a little bit about the background? You have a bite in there, a sound bite in there from Judge Emmett Sullivan.
Yes.
Can you tell about how that came about? It was really just a shocking statement.
Well, what happened was that there's this group called We the People, and they served a petition on the government for the government to show the law that they're enforcing. We have a right to petition. Under the First Amendment, people have a right to petition their government to get answers to things. The government is the servant of the people, not the other way around. So they petitioned the government to get answers. And the government refused to answer the question about where the law is. So they went to court. And as Judge Sullivan said in his decision, that the government does not have to answer the people's questions about where the law is.
Now that is beyond chilling.
Yes, we don't have a constitution anymore. We don't have a government run by the people anymore. We live in a totalitarian country today. That's the bottom line. We live in totalitarianism. And if you want to get it back, we have to get rid of the Federal Reserve System. We have to make people have the control of their government again.
Before we're all chipped?
Before we're all chipped. I know I'm not going to take an ID card. You know, and nobody should take an ID card, even if it's in your driver's license. Mm-hmm. You know, what they're going to do is say, everybody knows they need a driver's license, right? So we're going to put in the driver's license, which they can't turn down. Right. But if you just had a separate ID card, you would say, well, I don't want that card. I'm not going to take it. Mm-hmm. But if it's in my driver's license, I better get it because I have to drive.
Right.
So they're very smart people. They put you into situations where you have to take things mm-hmm. from them. But even if it's in the driver's license, you shouldn't take it. Mm-hmm. You know, don't take the ID card. And I'm planning a series of nationwide strikes and revolt against what's happening in the government to wake people up, to shut down the Federal Reserve System, to stop these chips from being employed. You know, and I expect that my movie is going to raise a lot of awareness mm-hmm. and activity from people. People will start getting involved when they realize what's really happening. And how all these central banks of the world are working together. I mean, sometimes you say the word New World Order, or one, and people, oh, you're just a conspiracy nut, you know?
No, you know, that's not true anymore, though, is it?
Well, some people. Mm-hmm. And so I show George Bush in the movie talking about the New World Order. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so, okay.
Yes.
And so the point is, the New World Order is really where all the governments of the world work, all the central banks of the world work together. They control the governments, and they can control the laws of the world. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to be forced to listen to these laws. And the laws are about controlling us, not giving us freedom. You know? And so unless we get back to our idea of individual rights, individual freedoms, and allowed to express yourself in the way you want, you know, we're going to lose this game. And unless people get active and say, I'm going to shut down the Federal Reserve System. I'm going to shut down the powers that be. We're doomed otherwise.
Is there any means beyond that? Say, for example, we're not successful in shutting down the Federal Reserve. What about strength in numbers with the individuals? What if half the country is refusing to pay their income tax, for example?
Well, half the country already does not pay it. But
seriously, it's half?
67 million people.
Jeez, what have I been doing?
I'm told 67 million people by the IRS themselves aren't filing. But I don't think it's all because they were protesting. I think there's a lot of that just...
By default, they couldn't pay the taxes.
By default, right. Or they're trying to skip it or whatever, you know. But, I mean, even if we can't get the Congress to shut down the Federal Reserve System, then you shut down the country. Massive strikes, get everybody to stop. I mean, you just get it. Because people are going to begin to realize. Because we're coming near the end game, and things are starting to accelerate.
Right.
You know, and people looking at George Bush is going to declare martial law, they think.
Yeah, there's a lot of fear about that.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Right. In fact, there's already some talk. It's not even talk that Homeland Security is going to be involved if we have a national emergency in auditing what you can and can't remove from your own safe deposit boxes at some of the country's largest banks.
Oh, yeah. There's no question that there's stuff going around where... if they want to repossess the gold and that people have privately,
your own private personal gold,
that you know you won't be able to go into a bank vault without somebody from mm-hmm. Homeland Security there with you to see what you're taking
out.
You know, I mean, it's a complete takeover. There are executive orders out there that say the government has the ability to put you on a work detail. In other words, let's say you're a teacher in Oregon, they could put you digging ditches in Ohio. That's an executive order. They can relocate whole populations if they want to. These are real executive orders. I mean, the government is planning a takeover of the American people. I understand, and I know some of this to be true, but I understand there are 800 internment camps.
I was just going to ask you this question next, and I didn't know it was up to 800, but it's my understanding that not only do they exist, I actually went to a conference listening to an engineer, very dry presentation on how they build them, how they tunnel that far every day, and the kind of the technical end of building these camps right. underground, which are spotted all over the United States.
Yes.
Now, most people don't know these exist.
No,
and
they
what
don't.
The heck are they building them for if not for use?
Well, they claim they're building them for if there's too much immigration into the country, you know, if it gets crazy.
Round everybody up.
You know, at this point, it's hard to know. It's hard to know what's in their minds. All I know is the fact is that they're building them. That's for real.
Right.
And how they're going to use them is speculation on my part.
Right.
But any good logical way of thinking lets you know what they're going to use them for.
Right.
And so even though I can't prove what's in their minds, it's pretty obvious. And it seems to me that what we have to fight for is to restore the very essence of what Thomas Jefferson and James Madison gave us here, that we control the government. This is about we the people again, not about the government and these bankers working together to stifle us,
right.
You know? And unless the people wake up and say, hey, I'm not going to take this anymore. You know, I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to do this. And stop it. Because we have the power. We still have the power. They can't, you know, if we resist, there's nothing they can do.
The problem is we're asleep at the wheel. We're being lulled by
forces. But people like you are trying to wake people up. I'm mm-hmm. trying to wake people up. There's more people awake now than have ever been before.
True.
I see that happening. And I think a picture like mine can help wake people up to what the truth is. And possibly the word will spread. And if we can all get focused on how to win the game instead of all these different objectives, you know, all these different...
keeping us polarized.
Yeah.
Essence,
well, no, I don't even mean that. I mean, there are mm-hmm. people who are fighting, you know, to get a better environment. There are people who are fighting for lack of gun control.
Right.
There are all these different issues that mm-hmm. are going on around the country,
mm-hmm.
which are all important on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can sort of consolidate all that and focus, take all those people and say, listen, we'll shut down the Federal Reserve first. Then we'll deal with those issues.
Right.
You know,
right.
Let's go to the agenda, the objective first. Then we'll go back to the other stuff.
Right.
Because that's the priority right now. You got to cut off the head of the beast. Right? And the head of the beast is the Federal Reserve and the people behind it. You see? And that's what will save this country. And if people understand that, and they stop being good Democrats and stop being good Republicans, but rather become good Americans,
mm-hmm.
that's what will save the country.